Good evening. This is Rabbi Maevsky. I entitled this week, Be Careful of Having Someone Like Lovin' in Your Life. And what I mean by that is, it's a very interesting pasuk at the end of the Sedra, which says very simply, God comes to Lovin'. Lovin' is chasing Yaakov after 20 years of living with Lovin' and wondering what's going to be. And God finally tells him that it's time for him to go home. He discusses it with Rachel and Leah, and they all agree that Halo Nachrios Nechashav Neloki Maharanu, that our father doesn't treat us like daughters anymore. We're like strangers there. And he decides to pick up and run away. Very interestingly enough, after traveling for a few days, comes to a week, and then Lavan Vayaseh goes so Bahar, and they catch him at a certain point before he's crossing the border. He's about to enter Eretz Yisrael again. And now Lavan catches up to him. And the night before Lavan catches up to him, God comes to him in a dream. Very strange that Lavan has to have a dream from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has to intervene and intercede on behalf of Yaakov. Not that he has to, but that he comes to Lavan. And what does he say to Lavan? One might think that the operative word for him to say is, don't harm Yaakov, don't raise a hand to him, don't do anything, we're not here to have a fight, you will lose the fight. But rather than that, God says to Lavan, and to daberim Yaakov mitov ad ra. Very strange statement when you think about it, if we analyze it. Pentadaberim Yaakov mitov ad ra. Don't talk to him anything good or bad. And what would be the reason for making that kind of a statement? But when we go back to Lavan, the beginnings of Lavan, it's a very interesting thing. When we read in Parshas Chayei Sarah that Avraham sent Eliezer to procure a wife for his son Yitzchak, and Yitzchak, Eliezer meets Rivka at the well, and they come, and he has this conversation, and after all, they convince Lavan that this is the right thing to do, and Eliezer says, I need to take her, she has to come with me now, and they said, V'nishallah espia, let's ask her, but initially, Lavan says, when after Eliezer tells him the whole story of how this all happened, he says, he proclaims, May Hashem yotzo hadavar lo nuchal elecho. We can't say anything good or bad. Pentadaber, I can't say anything bad or good about it. This is obviously heaven sent. And this is the thing. Lavan is this person who is an enigma. In some ways, he is, we know, Lavan o Arami. The Chumash tells us in Kisavo Arami, Oved, Ovi, that Lavan was the beginning of all our troubles that ended up in Mitzrayim, and this is exactly where it all begins. He's a man of words, and his words cause a lot of trouble. And this is where it begins. And when Eliezer comes back a little bit, he comes back with Rivka, and he understands that whether he thinks he outsmarted Lavan or Lavan, just let it happen. We have sort of at this point in time the thought of Lavan not being such a Rasha is in our minds because he hasn't done anything evil at this point that we could see on the surface. And we've sort of been taken in by his use of language. He talks a good game. And now when we see that Yaakov is fearful, and he at this parsha, he runs away, and Rivka says, because that's the last time she saw Lavan, and he said, May Hashem yotzo adavar, she said, Barach lecha elovin olelvan achi choron, at the end of the parsha, run away to my brother Lavan in Choron, and v'kach lecha misham ishar, Yitzchak agrees, and Yaakov is full of trepidation because he's leaving his father's home, a place of Makom Torah and Nevuah, and he's a little leery about going. But he realizes that he has to leave the presence of Esau. And on the way, he has this dream, Vayifka b'makom vayolen shom kivo ha-shemesh. Vayivka b'makom. And he has that, of course, Chazal tell us that he was misakin tefilas meir, but Yaakov was praying that God should keep him safe at this point in time, and that he's walking into an unknown territory, and he wants to be safe, and he's asking for God's help. And suddenly God appears to him, Hinei sulam butzavarza. And the interesting thing in the psychological profile of this dream about going up, because as I've probably mentioned a few years ago, I remember my father explaining it to me, that somebody is conflicted and he's being chased and he's running away from Esau, but he knows also that he's running to Lavan, which doesn't seem to be the worst thing in the world, but the fact is he's still leaving. While he's running away from Esau, he's leaving his father's house. And when we're being pushed from both sides, there's only one option open to us. When somebody's chasing you from the back and you're not looking forward to getting where you have to go, there's only one place to go, and that's up. Children, when they dream, a lot of times when they're being bullied, they dream they can fly. And these are the psychological profiles of this. That's where they get this whole idea of superheroes. But the point is that this is Lavan. And as soon as he gets there and Yaakov tells Lavan everything that has happened to him in his life, Lavan is listening to everything that Yaakov is saying, and he's putting away in usage to see that Yaakov himself is a man who tricked Lavan. He was, you know, he knows how to play the game. And Lavan right away with his silver tongue says, Ach atzmi uvisori oto, you're my flesh and blood, we're related from my father's, you're related from your father, from your mother, from both sides, we're related, we are very close, we're family, flesh and blood, and I wouldn't do anything. Tov titi osa osa mi liyish mi titi osa liyish acher, shivoy modi, and everything is going along fine. Of course, Yaakov has his guard up, but Lavan talks a good game, and he works for Rachel for 7 years, and then, of course, we know the story that he fools him in the end, and Yaakov complains bitterly, Malama rimi sonny, why did you fool me by giving me Leah? And Lavan says, you know, he has this silver tongue, and once again he says, Lo yeyase kein bimkomenu, oseis hasiro lefnei abishiro. You know, this is the way the world is. This is the way we handle things in our place. I can't give you the younger one before the older one is married. And you could have Rachel too, but in the meantime, you have to marry Leah first. And Yaakov doesn't say, he could have said, this is it, I renege on the whole thing. But regardless, he goes along with it, and he says, yeah, I'll give you at the end of this, the Sheva Brachas, we'll have a week of a party, and then you can have Rachel, but for that Rachel, you'll have to, of course, since you were working 7 years for Rachel then, now that I gave you Leah, so you'll work another 7 years, and you'll have your wife Rachel. You'll have your wife Rachel now, and it seems like I'm not going to make you work another 7 years until you have Rachel. I'll give it to her now. I'll give you Rachel now as a wife, and we move along. We see, as things go along, Lavan again talks a good game. And finally, Lavan realizes, and he says, Roeh, or Yaakov realizes, Roeh anochi es pnei avichem v'hinenu elai ketmol shulshon. Lavan is chasing after Yaakov. But before that all happens, when Yaakov wants to leave, and Lavan says, why? I understand after the 14 years, Yaakov says, I would like to leave. And finally, Lavan says, the silver tongue Lavan once again says, Nichashti vayivarcheni Hashem biglolecha. He always invokes the name of God. I'm a God-fearing person. And I came to the realization, I know that the only reason when you came here, I wasn't this well-to-do, and now I'm a rich man, and I know that the only reason that I became wealthy was because that you were here, and God blessed me because you are working for me. And we could see that a lot of times. Sometimes we have a schus And that's the whole idea of davening with a minyan, and you hope that in the schus of somebody else who's greater than you, or certainly at least better than you, you will be included in his good graces for God. And we have that by Orchini Hashem Biglolecha. He never raised a hand to Yaakov. But now, when he's, God comes to him in a dream, he knows that Lavan never raised a hand to Lavan. The problem is, he was always, Yaakov was always sucked in little by little with Lavan's crafty words. To take Yaakov off his guard, to not realize the evil that Yaakov, the only story that they knew about his mother Rivka coming home to mother was to coming home to end up to be his mother, was the fact that Lavan agreed to send Rivka along. Hinei Rivka lefanecha kach volech, usihi isha leven adonecha. Great, wonderful. Lavan talked a good game. And now, even though he fooled him, but he says, you know, you fooled Esav, I fooled you, all right, you'll get over it, but, you know, I do things the right way. And after he says once again, Vayirachini Hashem Biglolecha, Yaakov stays and takes the sheep, and he has Akudim, Nekudim, and Rudim. He goes through all the things that he goes through. And Lavan, finally at this time, after he goes ahead and he tells Yaakov, God came to me last night, you know, Yesh Liel Yodi Lasosi Mochem Ra, I have the ability to do evil to you. I can harm you. But God came to me and said, imagine the temerity of somebody to say that. But God came to me and said not to talk to you, because that's how Yaakov was always taken in by Lavan, with words, not with physical prowess. Is with words. And we always have to be very careful. We see what's going on in the world with Yiddishkeit, with the war that's going on now with Hamas, with Hezbollah. We win the war. Israel has the might and the strength to overcome Hamas and Hezbollah. But we see the words of the surrounding nations. The words are what sucks in everybody else. The pen is mightier than the sword. And the Arabs seem to understand that. And Israel has a shortcoming in terms of that. Of course, the world wants to dislike the Jews, obviously, at any turn that they can. But the reality is, we have to be more careful with our words. And hopefully, that day will come when we say later on in the Chumash, when we get to Bamidbar, when we get to Parshas Balak, when Chazal tell us that Lavan was the same soul as recycled into the soul of Bilam, they were one and the same person. It was Bilam once again, even though he tried to curse the Bnei Israel, and God again with words did not let him. And Bilam says, "Ma tovu ohalecha Yaakov mishkanosecha Yisrael." Imagine all these things. But what is the aftermath? After all of that, he still concocted a scenario where 24,700 Jews would be killed. And that is what we have in the words that's going on in the world. We continually get sucked in by the words, the treaties that Avimelech made with Yitzhak, that Avimelech made with Avraham. All of these treaties are worth nothing. When Yaakov says at the end, Yaakov and Lavan make the pact at the end, and they say, they call it Galeid, Yagar Sadusa, Eid Hagala Zev Yedo Hamatseva. The interesting thing, it says, Beiniu Veinecha. At this point in time, Lavan and Yaakov realizes that this treaty between Yaakov and Lavan is just between me and him. But the interesting thing is what it says there. Lo evoris agal hazeh agal hazos l'ro'ah v'yimatol lo savore lai es agal hazeh l'ro'ah. It doesn't mean that I won't cross this to do evil to you. It means that if you ever get into trouble, I'm not going to come to help you. And if I get into trouble, I don't expect you to come and help me. So if you read the words, that's what it says. It doesn't talk about doing harm. It just says, I will not cross this line to help you. I will never be crossing the line to help you. We have treaties we're about to have a treaty with Saudi Arabia. We have a treaty, a pact with Egypt. Jordan supposedly is also other countries, but do they lift a finger to help Israel? Do they come out in public and use the power of the language to say something nice that Israel had a right to do what they do? They do not do it. And that is what God is warning us, that the power of speech is the ikar, is the main thing that causes the problems in the world. Israel has the might, but do we have the gift of gab? Do we have the ability to say something that changes the mind? They win the war of words. We win the fight, and they win the war of the words. And that is what's going on. They are not crossing that line to do harm, to do help B'nai Israel. They never do it. All they do is use the words. They could say Matovu Alecha Yaakov, but behind the scenes, they're funneling money to kill as many of us as they can. May we not be fooled, but may the world come to that realization. Hopefully that day will come in our time. Have a good night, and have a good Shabbos.